ओम ज्ञानचंद्रांजस्या ज्ञानांजनशलाख्या चक्षुरुदितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपं कदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णापादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त सप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा सो टुडे वी आर इन लेसन फोर एंड वी वर इन लेसन थ्री. So who are new?
Shrigar
Prabhu and one more. Where is he? So welcome all of both of you to this class. And this is actually the last week for this unit. If you miss from this, then you know we can't actually enroll anymore. So it's good we came today. Okay, another thing, who haven't got the handbook and the Purvat codebook? I know both of you are there. Other than that, anybody? You haven't got one. Deepak Prabhu hasn't got it. So, we need 1, 2, 3, 4 copies. And I have 3 copies. So, Deepak Prabhu at this point, you can share with him because So you need a copy urgently. You don't have any copy. 1, 2, 3. I can provide 3 of you. Okay. So this copy is costing $25. So we had to finish the business as soon as possible. So Ritam Prabhu, I'll give you at the end of the session. Okay. Yeah, I have one in the ashram. Okay. You have something to share at this point, isn't it? That's good.
Okay, go ahead, Prabhu.
So one more person we have, Hari Bol. Krishna Prabhu also to the class, so we welcome him.
Hari Bol.
This is the last entry pretty much. We don't have any more. So now we need how many copies? One more copy I need. So let's see how we can do that. At least now I have given one copy of the books to Mitesh Prabhu. Oh, you also there too, in your house too. So I think you better share.
You
So you three are there in one house and you have two copies. Maybe you can adjust. Even if you really need, you can approach me. We can do some printing. related to something. But it looks like Prabhu has got even one in one house is more than sufficient. He has changed this. Let's see. I think we'll wait for Shigar Prabhu to come, because otherwise we will be first reviewing what we discussed last week a little bit. So for the benefit of those who haven't come, we'll wait for a few, one or two. Oh, you also didn't come. Few people missed last week. Who didn't come? Okay. Prabhu, you also missed last week, isn't it? Oh, okay, so we'll have the reviewing that we have. Okay, who started with the open book assignment? So today one more thing we'll be discussing regarding the open book assignment, because a few people have asked a few questions regarding that, so we'll be discussing what you can actually write in the open book assessment, because there are 8 questions. So if you don't start it right now, it can be difficult. Already I think you can at least do 3 or 4 questions. Is it right? 3 or 4? 4, okay. So it is pretty much, you can really start with the open book assessment, because we are in the 4th lesson today, so only 3 more lessons left. And then next week, after that, the next week is going to be the exam, closed book exam, and we need the open book assessment to be submitted on same day. So it's a bit of a commitment, and those who are new, I can just reiterate the point that is Bhakti Shastri is a bit of a commitment. So, for everyone, yeah, it's a reiteration for everyone, and especially for the newcomers. That is, this is the 4th class, the 4th lesson, and we will have 3 more lessons before the exam. And there are, in the exam, there will be few closed book questions, and we have already the questions present in the handbook. The questions are already given for Unit 1, the closed book. It is simple questions, maybe few sentence questions, so it's easy to learn and come and write. But the open book questions are based on understanding, application, mood and mission, etc. So one need to actually get into it and try to understand, otherwise it will be difficult to answer the question. And now apparently you have enough information to write 4 questions out of 8 questions in the open book assessment. So almost 50% there. And as we know, most of the marks are for open book. So closed book exam and shloka memorization carries less marks compared to the open book. So open book is your understanding, and so that is carries more weightage. So we had to start it now, because otherwise last moment it is going to be very difficult or impossible. Okay. Sorry? No, many people haven't started writing there, because open book is, they have to submit by mostly towards the end of next month. Less than a month is there. So if you start now, you can write, we will have time, otherwise it can be difficult. So that's the general statement. Okay, now we will have a bit of review on Varnashram. So the last whole discussion was on Varnashram Dharma. So what did we discuss regarding Varnashram Dharma? Any point? So we will start from here. Anything can you remember from Varnashram Dharma? One point. Different varnas, okay, that's good.
There are 4 varnas and ashramas.
There are 4 varnas and there are 4 ashramas. Okay, what are those?
The varnas are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. And the ashramas are Brahmacharya, Gurusha, Vanprastha.
Okay, very good. Sai did a good job. That's good. So we'll go to the next group. Anything regarding Varnashram Dharma? Any point? Varnashram Dharma is essential to cultivate Vaishnavism. Yes, that's a good point. Otherwise, there is no point for us to having Brahmacharis, Grihasthas and Vanaprasthas and Sannyasis. Okay, good. Anything?
Discharging one specific duty.
Yeah.
The higher authority.
Yeah.
The
oh yeah, that's Exactly, that's good. So the result is elevation of one's life, and for that one is performing one's duties as authorized by the higher authorities, and which is according to one's condition nature, according to one the mode in which one is affected. Okay, that's good. Okay, regarding the mode, each varnas, how it is affected by different material modes? How? Any of you? Huh? Not here.
Brahmanas are predominantly
in goodness. Yeah, Brahmanas are predominantly in goodness. That's good. Then? Fashion? Yeah, Vaishyas are mix of passion and ignorance. And Shudra?
Alright.
Any other point?
Varna determined at birth.
Varna?
Determined at birth.
Yeah.
And it says no, because the tendency of a particular man towards birth is still in the most material nature.
That's right.
Which is required.
Yeah. Anything from there?
And you have discussed
that. That's fine, so we'll give to them.
Duties of each varna. Duties of Brahman, Vaishya, Kshatriya.
Okay. Each varna has different. Yeah, we had quite a different. So what are the duties of different varna and different ashram has different duties. What is the prime duty of a sannyasi? Yeah. Exactly. Abhayam, satya, samshuddhi. What is the meaning of abhayam? Fearlessness. Why a sannyasi has to be fearless? Yeah. How he can be fearless?
He depends on Krishna.
And where is Krishna? Krishna is where is Krishna present?
Everywhere.
So everywhere. So that is the exactly. So that is the reason is abhayam. And satya, samshuddhi. What does that mean? How? Distribution of spiritual? Cultivation of one's own knowledge and also distribution as well. And for vanaprasthas, what is the prime duty?
Tapa.
That is austerity. Okay, and for grihasthas? One by one. Okay, what is?
Charity.
Yeah.
Self-control.
Self-control. Okay. Charity.
Self-control.
Sacrifice. So what are those sacrifices that a grihastha should perform?
Sankirtan.
So support Sankirtan. That's good. And for a brahmachari, what is the prime duty?
Swadhyaya.
Charya. Okay, so we got all the points. Is it clear? Now we will just review a few. Sorry? Drama. Dhamma. That is qualification. That is the duty of whom? Primarily.
Yes.
Alright. So Varnashram review. So we'll go to a basic point. So first of all the human beings primarily are two legged animals. Pretty much. What is the end of? Oh, the stand on. How come it was turned off? Okay, primarily human beings are Dvipada Pashu. What is the meaning of Dvipada Pashu?
Two-legged
animals. So they do not follow primarily any rules and regulations. So if you want to see Dvipada Pashu, what do we have to do? Just go out, eh? Mirror also again. We are not supposed to see in the mirror, rather we should go out and we should see. Because we are supposed to follow something. Okay, so if we go out, we can see generally many people, or most of the people, they are in Dvipada Pashu, they are two-legged animals because they are not following any
regulations.
Any no rules and regulations. So it is unrestricted sense enjoyment. Okay, so that is the people in general. So from people who are completely unrestricted in their sense enjoyment, something is prescribed to make them to follow some rules and regulations, to regulate them, and that is presented in Vedas. So the whole purpose, the primary purpose of Varnashram Dharma is to initially to bring somebody from that kind of lower level to a higher level. Can you see? To bring them from such a lower level of existence to a regulated lifestyle and gradually make them improve in their consciousness and come to which standard? Ultimately? Ultimately?
Devotee.
Devotee. Ultimately to? Devotee. Self-realized soul. So that is the ultimate aim. So we consider, can you see what is this? It's a stepping stone. So Varnashram Dharma is considered a stepping stone. Because at one end, one is on a lower level, and at the other end, the objective, that is to become devotees. So this is a pathway in between. And the prime reason for that is that one needs to be materially properly situated so that one can practice devotional service. If one's material situation itself is upside down, then the proper execution of devotional service can be difficult. So that is the reason there is classification of varnas, there is classification of ashrams, so that one is occupation wise and in terms of the spiritual ashram, one is properly situated. And at that point, actually one can properly start practicing devotional service. One can actually start sadhana bhakti. Because the sadhana bhakti itself has rules and regulations. So for us, we have so many rules and regulations. In the Nectar of Devotion, we will see 64 rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. Now also we have so many rules and regulations. We have to chant certain number of rounds. We had to follow four regulatory principles. We had to get up in the morning. We had to come to the temple. So we follow certain rules and regulations. So even in the devotional life in itself, there are so many rules and regulations. So if one wants to practice that effectively, one has to come to the platform where one can practice Varnashram Dharma. So different occupational duties and different varnas. So if we are fixed in there, then we can effectively practice devotional service. So that is the reason. That reason it is called a stepping stone, because stepping stone means it is going somewhere. It's not stagnant. It's not stagnant. So even in varnas and even in ashrams, there is a progressive stage. Varna can be fixed. One can remain in varna for some time. That's fine. But ashrams, you can see a progressive stage. One can start as a brahmachari, can go to grihastha, can become vanaprastha, can go to sannyas, etc. But ultimately, there is no varna is abominable. Or no, ashram is also abominable. Everything is fine. As far as one is a devotee of the Lord. So that is the reason, I think you asked one question regarding last week towards the end, did you? Yeah. And the question, if I understand right, you were asking that how can in 1847. So if somebody is belonging to one varna, and if he is performing the duty of another varna perfectly, Bhagavad Gita says no. If you are in one varna, is it right?
Yeah.
One varna, then do perform the duty of that varna. It means if you are a kshatriya by nature, you do administration, fighting, etc. Don't go try to become a brahmana and do those duties perfectly. Rather, do your duties even if it is with a little bit of fault. So that was the basis of your question, isn't it? Now your particular question was, how can one perform duty of another varna perfectly? I think that was the question. So in the purport, I was reading the purport, so Srila Prabhupada has mentioned, it is imitation. One may perfectly imitate another varna. And Prabhupada gives the example, if somebody is born in a Brahmin family, so one may think that, okay, I am born in a Brahmin family, so I should act as a Brahmana. But at the same time, my quality is that of Shudra. So Srila Prabhupada mentions he should not pretend to be a Brahmin and, you know, do all the sacrifices and all the pujas, etc. Rather, become a Shudra and accept a position where one can actually act as a Shudra. So it is my understanding of that is one shouldn't imitate perfectly another Varna.
That's what Prabhupada was saying. It's an imitation. Even if one tries to do perfectly, still it's an imitation. Rather act according to one's nature. Any other questions regarding one or yeah?
The ashram of one person is decided according to the nature of the person. It's not according to the verse. If he is performing the duty of some other varna properly, this means that that's his ashram.
Yeah, varna. These are two separate things. You are talking about varna or ashram. Yeah, ashram means it is brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, nyas. So, pretty much we have to stick to the basic principles of each ashram. At the same time, there is commonality among all the ashrams because everyone performs devotional service. That is a common thing. Whether it's a brahmachari, sannyasi, grihastha, vanaprastha, everyone will perform devotional service. That is a commonality. At the same time, there are.
If we talk about varna, then if a child may be born in a Brahmana family.
Yeah.
Like you're saying that in the Shudra.
Yeah, can be Shudra.
Like Prahlad Maharaj was born in a Kshatriya family.
Yeah. Or demoniac family, rather.
Yeah, but he was a Brahmana.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So he was a Vaishnava, he was a Brahmana, obviously.
So according to what you are saying now, that he can't be a Brahmana because he's performing the duties of a Brahmana. So he can't be a Brahmana.
Who?
He just got told that he can't help but like he's performing the duty of one varna properly.
Yeah.
It belongs to some other varna, so it can't be done.
So the point is, if say Prahlad Maharaj, for instance, if you take his example, he's a Vaishnava, and he's acting as a king, so he's a Kshatriya. Is it correct? Because he's ruling over, Prahlad Maharaj is ruling over. So he's acting according to his varna. There's no harm in it.
But he can be a Brahmana too.
Yeah, that is, when it comes to a devotee platform, one is automatically a Brahmana. All devotees, you know, Vaishnavas, who is six, he can be, independent of one's occupational duty, in ISKCON, for instance, one may be working in a hospital, maybe in a zoo, maybe in a educational institution. Doesn't matter, whatever labor, but anyone can be a Brahmana because he's a Vaishnava. So devotees is a different category. But when it comes to a person who is born in a Brahmana family, by birth, we cannot say he's a Brahmana. Do you agree to that point? So if he has the quality of a Shudra, then it's a Shudra, that's the point. So if he tries to be a Brahmana by imitating because his father is a Brahmana, so he can do puja, he can do things like that, then Prabhupada says it is an imitation. It is doing the duty of another Varna. But he is a Shudra, his father is a Brahmana maybe, so he is trying to imitate another Varna. So it's an imitation. So it's better not to do that, rather act according to one's own nature. Now, there is a very interesting point regarding, what is this? It's gymnastics. Okay, it's a safety net. So what is the significance of safety net in this context? Varnashram is a safety net. If you want to understand how it is a safety net, because if somebody is already in the goodness, because Varnashram can eventually bring one to the mode of goodness, because there are rules and regulations and one can be well elevated to the mode of goodness. So even if somebody is going beyond goodness, if somebody is practicing the spiritual practice, but at least if somebody falls down, at least there is something safety net. It's like if somebody is doing trapeze or gymnastics or whatever, if falls down, if there is no safety net, by accident can happen in this world, then what happens? Crash, landing. So all the bones and everything is into pieces. So we can go and in a bucket we can collect the whole person, fill their bag, everything is finished. So there is no question of practice anymore, no more jumping up and down, there is nothing, no more success, finished. Because there is no safety net and he is crash landed. Okay? So in the same way, if we are trying to be transcendentalists and if we don't have the help of Varnashram system, then what can happen? One can fall into a platform where one actually started his progress from. One started as a dvipada pashu, as a two-legged animal. Or sense gratification, drinking, smoking, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, everything. So one is actually starting from there and he's making some advancement, and at one point he's losing everything, then he can actually come down to the same platform. We can give some example, for instance. some devotees, it happens. They started devotional service and unfortunately they had to left the association of the devotees and they are actually falling from the spiritual standards. Then where they hit, they can hit the rock bottom. That is, one can exactly go into the same association they had before. They can get into all nonsense activities. That is actually, there is no safety in it. But in some culture, for instance, in Indian culture, people have, at least people stick to some standards. Some people, not everyone, some people stick to some standards. So even somebody who leaves Krishna consciousness or slacken in Krishna consciousness, there is a chance that they will be in somewhere. India is losing, but there is a chance because of some remnants of Vedic culture, there is a chance that one follows something like, I won't eat meat. Maybe I won't intoxicate. Maybe I will have only one wife. Like that, people may follow some principles and stick to some standards. So that is actually because of that net, that safety net. It is actually giving at least some level. It is material, it's not spiritual standard. It's a material standard, but at least it is avoiding some gross sinful activities to some degree. Still there are so many sinful activities involved, but at least giving some standard. So that is the reason this Varnashram is also acting as a safety net. So that is, one is going up, that is, stepping stone is going up, and safety net is if somebody is going down, how it protects. Then another thing is, if there is that safety net, then one can actually get up and even practice devotional service further. Can you understand that point? That is, since the safety net is there, one is not completely broken. One can get up and practice devotional service again. So that facility, that advantage is there. So this is a key point regarding the Varnashram system. And few essays, we can actually have a quick look. Can I get the book? Alright, so page number 22 of the open book assessment. Okay, the first question that you can answer is explain. Everyone got it? Explain the process and the result of following Varnashram Dharma with reference to verses and statements from Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavad Gita. Point number one, stick to Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita means stick to Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. I am not expecting any other reference in this question. Just that's enough. Whatever you get, you write. And whatever is not there, don't write. It's okay. Clear? Okay, now the point number one. For instance, 231 is a very good reference. I'm not saying it is the only reference, but 231 is a very good reference regarding Varnashram Dharma, especially to answer this question. And there is a very nice statement at the end, that is, discharging one's specific duty in any field of action in accordance with the orders of higher authorities serves to elevate one to a higher status of life. So this is just one point, but if you read other purports and other sections, you can actually expand on it. This just, I'm reading one point, but it's a very key point regarding the discharge of Varnashram Dharma. But we can read 18th chapter, we can read the duties one on one, and which chapter we discuss the whole 16.1, the different varnas, which are the occupations, different ashrams, which are the occupations and which are the qualities which they were discussed. We can use that, and also in the section, in this section, wherever Varnashram is coming, you can use the purport and the translation. Is it clear? Yes, Prabhu?
So what is the exact meaning of the process?
Process means how can we practically follow something? There is a procedure. Process means a procedure to follow. So there is a procedure in which we follow Varnashram Dharma. So that is the process that is mentioned. And also regarding the result, there are few purports regarding the results of Varnashram Dharma. what Kshatriyas get out of it, what Brahmanas get out of it, or what is the general purpose of Varnashram Dharma. Everything is given in the purport. So if you read carefully purport, having this question in the mind, you will get the answer. You understand how to read? First read the question, understand the question, and go through the purport, mark the point, and then write an essay. And my maximum is 500 words. Maybe it is close to one page. You type pretty much one page. 500 pages you can nicely write. Is it clear? Next, yeah?
I'm not sure this is $10. How to start and how to end? Like, what are you expecting?
Okay, if for any essay, there is an introduction, there is a main body text, main body, and then the conclusion. So in the introduction, what you can write? What you are going to write. That can be the introduction. You understand what I'm trying to say? In briefly, what you are going to address, what you are going to write, that should be the intro. Then, in the main body, you can divide into two or three paragraphs, and you can write what you are actually going, what did you actually understand by the process and the result of following Varnashram Dharma. You can explain that, and in the conclusion, you can summarize. You can, not exactly, you don't have to give the whole summary, you can conclude making few statements, which are the relevant and the most important point, what are the conclusions you have come up with, you can conclude in that way. So this is the general standard for any essays. I know there are many IELTS essay specialists now here, so they can use their skills. So, you know, essay shouldn't be much of a problem. Everyone has written essays before? Or everyone has written essays? Many essays. So many. So, not an issue. You have also written many essays. So just write it. Is that right? That's it. And which is the other question?
Question 3.
Oh yeah. Discuss how general principles drawn from Arjuna's dilemma are relevant to your own practice of Krishna consciousness with reference to 2.6-11. We already had discussion on this in the last class. We discussed quite a few nice points. 6.11, it is very, 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 very clear. It is personal application, means don't write the whole copy paste from Prabhupada's purport. It is personal application. So it is discuss how the general principles are. First of all, find out the principles and write how are you going to apply. It is how it is relevant to for your application, means in your Krishna consciousness. So answer should be something like, you know, I am planning to do this, or I am going to do, you know, in that sense. You understand what I am trying to say? Be specific. Don't write general, you know, in a general essay. You know, generally summarizing. Hari Bol, be careful. Listen, back benches. No discussion there. So it has to be for personal application. Don't write
so
other stories.
Can
yeah, you can use I. No problem. No problem. I can be used. No problem. Because I am planning to do this, or you know, it is relevant to me. No problem. That is the purpose. Personal application means it is person. It's clear? Then 1, 3 and 8. I don't have to tell anything. You know it.
Yeah.
Six. Points will be there.
Yeah.
And I want to write each point will be one paragraph.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, paragraph. All together 500 words. Maximum limit 500 words. Around that. Okay.
I'm not around that. Problem.
Then.
Explain.
Eight
points will be more. Will be. Around 6 points.
Yeah, discuss
and
that. Yeah.
If I take 1 point and I want to elaborate that one, or I want to.
You can write a few points. It's better list 3 aspects of Prabhupada's mood and mission.
That's
the mood, pretty much everything.
So we have to write the mood separately and mission separately.
Yeah, you can separate it out.
Six.
Yeah. Number 6. Explain application of Varnashram Dharma can support your practice of Krishna consciousness. It is such a simple question. Huh? What is that? Is it right? Question is right? Is there any difficulty in writing that? Explain how application of Varnashram Dharma can support your Krishna consciousness. Are you following any principles of Varnashram Dharma?
Yes.
Yes, then you can write how it is supporting your Krishna consciousness. That's all. It's personal application. It is, you know, it's personal application. It's asking you. So it is like, you know, you had to tell your answer. Don't copy paste from any of the purports. It can be used in, no, use, write in your specific context, how it is relevant to you. Okay? Clear? Okay, now B. List some practical ways you can apply the principles of Varnashram Dharma in your practice of Krishna consciousness. It looks pretty much similar.
Similar.
Yeah. Explain how application of Varnashram can support your practice of Krishna consciousness. Yeah, you can combine. Yeah? It's the same question. Eh? Sorry, it's pretty much similar. It's quite close. Sorry? It is close. It's not same actually, but it is very close in one sense.
So for both A and B, we have to write
personal thoughts? No, it's a one question. So it's a one question. Both together is a one question. You can write a one essay, it's enough. One essay can answer both. It's enough. One essay is enough. Is it clear? So we discuss how many?
Three.
One, two, three. No, four. 1386. Okay, Hari Bhav. So is it clear? We have already discussed four essays. Everyone okay? Satisfied? Yeah, they proved. Hi, boss. Yeah.
Actually, do we have to follow for random
One not four is referring to which verse?
240.
Okay.
If someone gives up his occupation duties and falls in Krishna consciousness and then falls down on
the path. Okay, yeah, I understand what you mean. Okay. We'll come to that. 240 is a very important verse that will be discussed today. Okay. There's an Narada Muni statement actually. Exhaustive sermon. We are not yet there, so hold on. Okay, Prabhuji, now we will have the overview of chapter 2. So this is the first part of chapter 2, where Arjun is saying, okay, Arjun has further doubts, and Arjun intelligently surrenders unto Krishna. Okay, that's good. So what is he saying? How can I kill my guru? Is that a question initially Arjun is asking in the beginning of second chapter? Arjun is telling how I can kill Bhishma and Drona. They are my gurus, teachers. And Arjun is telling rather I can go and beg and make a living. That is better than killing one's own gurus, because gurus are
worshipable.
Exactly, they are worshipable. So we cannot shoot arrows to our gurus. In other words, can Krishna go and shoot arrows to his guru, Sandipati Muni? Not possible. So in the same way, how can Arjun, right in front of Krishna, go and shoot arrows to his guru? That is a genuine concern, okay, of Arjun. And after that, he is showing, what is showing? Indecisiveness. Which verse was indecisiveness? Verse number 6. Verse number 6. Right. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. And we discussed this verse last week. If we kill by the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield. So here, Arjun is telling, okay, I don't know what to do. Because either way, it is a defeat. If we kill them, then it is a defeat. If Arjuna is killing all his gurus and all his relatives, then it is a defeat. Why? Manikantan Prabhu, why it is a defeat? if Arjuna kills all his relatives, it's a defeat. Still it's a defeat. Why? Okay, so he wants to enjoy the company of his relatives. So if they kill, then it is a defeat. And if they don't kill, then also it is a defeat, because obviously it is a defeat. Because both ways it's a defeat, so Arjuna is telling, I don't know what to do. So that is indecisiveness. However, in that purport, Prabhupada makes a very important point regarding Arjuna. What is that? Compassion. No, that's not the point. Yeah, it's part of it. Willing to surrender unto Krishna, that's right. For that, it is mentioned he has some qualities. Sign of detachment. So, how can we see he has got those qualities? What is it? Okay, that's a good point. He is a Kshatriya, he is from the royal order, still he is ready to give up everything and he is ready to beg. So can anyone who has got attachment to one's possession, can he do that?
No.
Okay, he is a pure devotee. So the main thing is he is exhibiting the sign of detachment. So that is Prabhu saying, okay, that is the qualification of Arjuna. And also he is showing faith unto Krishna, because that's the reason his next verse, Arjuna is surrendering unto Krishna, that is Karpanya Dosha, Aparadasa Bhava, Sarma, Samvasateda, then Yatrayam, Sayamishayam, Bruhi, Shishyasteham, Shadhimam, Tom, Prabhanam, Prabhanam. Alright. So this is a key memory verse. Everyone should remember. So in the purport it is mentioned the whole material world is just like a place of misery. Yeah, that's right. A forest. Anyone remembers the example of forest? Oh yeah, it is forest fire. So what is the significance of forest fire? Okay, no one is actually lighting the fire. It comes about. In the same way. Sorry? In Australia they light the forest fire, okay. But that is also a very good point, because even though people don't want suffering, they are ready to suffer by doing all the sinful activities. So even if one doesn't perform any sinful activities, still one has to suffer because the reactions are coming in the material world. So if somebody intentionally do something, then definitely one is going to suffer. And even after surrendering, two things are there. One is change of relationship. So far there was a very friendly relationship between Krishna and Arjuna, and now there is Guru and Shishya. So the relationship has changed from friendly relationship to teacher and student. And even after that, Arjun still has some confusion, still has some doubt. He's telling, even if I get the whole heavenly pleasures, still that cannot satisfy Arjun. Even the whole heavenly pleasures and the kingdom, even if he gets that, still he's not satisfied. So there Arjuna pretty much stops his arguments and his conversation. And where is proof?
Prabhupada also mentioned that he's also highly enlightened.
Okay, the Arjuna's qualifications are specifically mentioned in this verse, because for one to surrender to Krishna, he needs some qualification. There is some prerequisites there. Even if somebody wants to take shelter of a spiritual master, one has to have some qualifications. Otherwise, the process of surrender won't work. So that is a specific reason. In 2.7, Arjuna is the whole verse is about surrender unto Krishna completely. So Arjuna is saying, Shishyasteham Shadhimam Tvam Prapannam. So I am surrendering unto you as a Shishya, as a disciple. A surrendered soul unto you. So that is the reason, specific reason why at the end of 2.6, Prabhupada is mentioning this qualification. As we know, Arjuna is already enlightened, he is a pure devotee. That is a known fact. And at this point also, Arjun is showing his detachment. And detachment is a sign of sense control as well. Because without that one cannot be detached. Because if the senses are attached, what is attachment? Attachment means attachment of the mind and the senses. Is it right? Because mind wants to think about something or wants to take ownership of something. And for the senses, if it is attached, it wants pleasure for different in different ways. Five senses needs pleasure in five different ways. So this is attachment. So since he is showing detachment, means his mind and the senses are controlled. Otherwise he cannot exhibit detachment. So that's the reason for specifically that is linked. And these qualifications are required to surrender unto Krishna. Because the very the last line or last but line of that purport, 2.6, Prabhu has mentioned sense control is the basic qualification to get what? To get transcendental knowledge, and from there the liberation can come. So sense control is the basis. Even for our studying the Shastra, if there is no sense control, it is very difficult. And if there is no mind control, it is very, very difficult. As we know, in the modern age, you know how much is the maximum attention span for a person? 45 minutes. 15 to 17 minutes. Yeah, it is close to 10 to 15 minutes maximum. That is one somebody who wants to attend and listen something carefully. Maximum 10 minutes one can focus on. After that, mind is going everywhere. So this is the attention span of, you know, our people of this age. So sense control is so essential. Okay, this is the first section. Now we are moving into the next. That is from 11 till 30. So it's a big one. How many of you have read 211 till 230? Haribol, anyone read from 211 till 230?
No.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Before. Okay, that was not in the reading assignment, by the way. So I am not surprised if you haven't read. But who read from 33 till 48? That was there in the reading assignment. We have to see, okay, we have to read, there is a reading assignment, by the way, and in that reading assignment, you were supposed to read from verses from 233 till 248. How many of you have read that? 1, 2, okay, there, 1, 2, okay, not fully, at least, yeah, that's okay, at least some attempt. So I think back I'm not seeing any, you know, not even hands are there. they are looking at the verses. The back benches is no hand, no head also. This is not going to work. This is not going to go in your favor. Because if you read and if you answer the questions given at the end, then the same questions will be asked for the exam. So for your benefit, you have to read and come. So next class, I'll check how many of you are going to read, okay? And write the answers. Alright. So we are actually going to the next section. So now it is the Gyan section of second chapter. Gyan means?
Knowledge.
Of what? In this regard, of the soul. Okay. So it's very interesting. Krishna starts speaking with something specific to Arjuna. What does Krishna say first to Arjuna? After Arjuna presenting so many reasons not to fight.
You are a fool.
So it is called chastisement. So starting asochyan anya shochatam prajnavatam cha bhashate. Why? Gadasum anugadasum cha nani shochanti pandita. So Krishna is telling, you are a fool apparently, Prabhu is telling. Indirectly Krishna is calling Arjuna a fool. So this chastisement is good or bad?
Good.
Very good. So who likes chastisement? Alright, few people, not many people, okay. So that's good. Instead, Srila Prabhupada is telling in one of the lectures he was mentioning how he got chastised. Not exactly him. Prabhupada was sitting in a lecture of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So there was a wealthy man sitting next to Prabhupada. And when the lecture was going on, he actually interrupted the lecture. Actually, he called Prabhupada, come and speak something. So Bhakti Siddhanta saw that immediately Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur started chastising this man. And this man was about 60 years old. And he was a very well-wisher of the whole Gaudiya mission. He was giving a lot of donations. So immediately he said, "What do you think of yourself? Do you think you can purchase us by giving 60 rupees per month? Because 60 rupees that time is a big amount. So can you purchase us just by giving 60 rupees? Am I speaking to all of the rest of the people, not for you?" So like that he was going on and on. And Prabhupada is mentioning his guru, that is Bhakti Siddhanta. He used to rule, these are fools and rascals, and he used to heavily chastise. So it was quite intense. So when just one slight inattention and try to interrupt the class in some way, immediately he used to chastise very heavily. And Prabhupada was mentioning, okay, we used to consider his chastisements as blessings. Any words from my spiritual master, I consider as blessings. So not one is good and the other is bad. Both are good for me. Both are good. So that was the approach of Srila Prabhupada. So we have to also take it in that way. And if we get chastised, we have to take it in the right spirit. Because it is said, if a Vaishnava accepts somebody as his servant, then only he chastises. If he doesn't accept as his servant, then we'll never get chastised. So in that sense, chastisement is good. So here we can see Krishna really accepted Arjun as his servant, as a disciple. So he is chastising. So he is telling those who are dead, nobody is going to cry. Who? Pandita. One who is a Pandita, one who is a Pandit, one who is learned, he is not going to cry, he is not going to lament, because this Bhishma and Drona are going to be killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So that is the first point he is making. And immediately after that, because Arjun is speaking like, because Arjun is quoting what Shastra, what is he quoting about? He is talking about Varnashram Dharma. And he is presenting so many reasons based on Varna and Ashram. And justifying to Krishna that I don't have to fight. And now at this point, Krishna is telling, you are speaking like a very learned man, but actually you are a fool. Because at this occasion, a learned man wouldn't lament. Mm. So that is the point. It's not good. And next verse is very interesting, so I briefly had to go through the whole thing. So next verse is very interesting. Natvevaham jatu nasam natvam neme janathiva na chayvanam bhavishyama sarve vayam atam param. This verse is directly speaking about the individuality of the soul. The soul is individual. There is no question of merging. All circumstances, all these kings, I, you, everyone remain individual. Previously we were individuals, now we are individual, and in the future we remain individuals. So this is a very, very important concept. That is, soul means we have individuality and we act individually. And that individuality remains all the time. We were individuals, we are individuals, and we will be individuals. And regarding this, actually Prabhupada is refuting very important Mayavad concepts. One is regarding the merging, that is Mayavad is saying at the end of liberation means merging, everything is merging into one, finished. So Prabhupada is saying that is not going to work because the soul is individual. Then how can one get into merge? How can one become a soup? Everyone is becoming a soup, merging. How is it possible to become soup like that? It's not possible. Second, Prabhupada is mentioning if it is talking about the individuality of the material body, so possibly if somebody argues the individuality mentioned in this verse, in the textual, the individuality is mentioned because neither me nor you, not all these kings, isn't it? Can you remember this verse? Can you look, find out this verse? So it is referring to Krishna himself. It is referring to Arjun, and it is referring to all kings present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He's saying everyone was individual, they are individuals now and they are individuals in the future. So it is mentioned, if somebody argues that this individuality present is that of the material body, not that of the soul, then this argument is completely false. The reason being, even in the previous verse, Krishna actually denied the bodily conception of life. Because he's telling, he's talking about a learned person who wouldn't lament for the disappearance of the material body. It means he's actually rejected the bodily concept of life. So in this verse, how can it refer to the individuality of material bodies? It has to be individuality of the spirit soul. Is that one clear? Second point is the plurality of the material bodies. Anyone remember the plurality? Anyone read the purport? The plurality of the material bodies. Yeah, exactly. Even if there is, can you read that portion? You found it? Navin Prabhu? Yeah. Yeah.
The same way the truth given to Arjuna is given to all persons in the world. They pose themselves as very learned, but actually have quite a poor point of knowledge.
Yeah.
God says clearly that he himself, Arjuna, and all the kings who are assembled on the battlefield are eternally individual beings. And that the Lord is eternally the maintainer of the individual living entity.
Yeah.
Both in their condition and in their liberated
state. Yeah. So that is the explanation of plurality. Is it right? Where is the plurality mentioned? Is it just before that?
What?
Is there a word like plurality there? Plurality of the material body?
It says the maintaining of the individual living entities.
Then I have fun. Okay, so plurality is referring to body. Plurality cannot be if it is referring to body, then it is not correct because the bodily conception is already denied. And on the second level, the point is there is difference between Krishna and Arjun. Or Krishna and living entities are different. Otherwise, there is no significance to Bhagavad Gita. Is it correct? Can anyone explain this point? If Krishna and Arjuna are on the same platform, then there is no significance to Bhagavad Gita. Why? Yeah.
One couldn't be disturbed, one couldn't be
Oh yeah, that's right. If both are on the equal level, that is Krishna and Arjuna, or Krishna, the Lord and the individual living beings are on the same level, then there is no point in listening from the Lord because both are of the same level, same consciousness, same knowledge. Then why do we have to listen from such a person? So, Prabhu says, if that is the case, then the whole argument we can remove. There is no need of Bhagavad Gita. Then no need to discuss about Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavad Gita is significant because it is, we are getting it from the Supreme Lord. We are getting this knowledge from the Supreme Lord. So there is a difference. What's next? And the next verse everyone is supposed to remember, that is, Dehinosmin. So here, what is the point? Krishna is telling there is nothing to lament because the body is changing all the time. It means one type of body is destroyed and you get another type of body and that is also destroyed. Like one has a youthful body, one has a young body first of all, a childlike body, that will be destroyed. Then one gets body of a youth and that will be destroyed. Then one gets old body and that will also be destroyed. So why one is crying, only lamenting for the last stage where one is losing the old body? And the example is given that of Yayati Maharaj. Yayati, he became old and he wanted youth back. You know the first time? So he approached all his sons to asking for the youth. First he approached one of his sons and he asked him, so he said, he denied. He said, I cannot give because I have to enjoy. I am young and I want to enjoy. How can I give my youth for your old age? He approached the next son. He also said the same. And finally he approached, I can't remember the name. You remember? Huh? Yeah. What is his name? Do you remember the name? Okay. He was already quite elevated. Eh? No. Okay, whoever it is. He approached him and he was ready to exchange his youth. So he had the body of an old body and now he has got a youthful body. He has got a youthful body. But are we crying because of that? Because he lost his old body and he got a youthful body. Nobody is crying. Everyone is happy. So same argument Krishna is making, that Bhishma and Drona, they are going to lose their old age body, but at the same time they can get a new body. So why to lament? Okay, next is about tolerance. That is if one wants to be liberated from the material platform, one has to tolerate. As the Srila Prabhupada gives a very good point in this in one of his lectures, Prabhupada says, actually Krishna places some problems in front of the devotees so that actually they can relish a special relationship with Krishna. One can get special reciprocation with Krishna. But even when one is going through those difficulties, when one is practicing Krishna consciousness, actually one gets reciprocation from Krishna. So Krishna, that time when there are difficulties, then Krishna consciousness has a special taste. That is the point Bhaktivinoda Thakur is making. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whatever difficulties I have to go through in my service to Krishna, they are my ecstasy. So elevated consciousness. The Prabhupada is saying the next verse is actually, it is a prerequisite for liberation. That tolerance is prerequisite for liberation. Because if we had to do our service, there will be problems. And if we can't face that problem, then we cannot do our service. We will have to give up our service.
But duality is the good and bad.
What is that?
But duality.
Dualities mean it can be heat and cold.
Good and bad.
It can be praised and it can be, you know, the other side of it, mana and apamana. It can be anything. Good and bad. So many dualities are there. One will have to go through this. Happiness and distress. Then it makes... Now it is regarding the quality of spirit soul as well as the material body. Material body has no endurance. And spirit soul has... Spirit soul has... What is the quality of spirit soul? It is eternal. It has endurance. It is eternal. So in that regard, two verses are there. That is, one is avinashi tu tadvithi. That is, avinashi means there is no nash. There is no death for the soul. And it is described, what is consciousness? Is it described? Consciousness is symptom of the soul. And location of the soul is given. The size of the soul is given. This will come to your workbook question, size of the soul, I think, so you can do that. 1/10,000 tip of the hair. Okay. And the location is heart, in the heart. Okay, that's good. And next point, antavanta ime deha. That is, the one time the soul is eternal and the body is temporary. That's done. Alright, few more things. Okay, even though it is mentioned, now even though Krishna is advising Arjuna to fight and kill his relatives, at the same time Srila Prabhupada is mentioning this very, very important point in the purport. He is telling the general principle is Ma Himsa Sarva Bhutani. That is from Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter. That is Ma Himsa Sarva Bhutani. One shouldn't commit violence to living entities. So Prabhupada is saying, even though it is mentioned in this context to Arjuna to fight and kill, but it doesn't mean that we can take our gun and we can make, you know, all our armies, our Sankirtan army is having weapons and, you know, our portrait is, you know, arsenal where so many weapons are stored, and we can, you know, start killing people outside. Okay, that, so that's not, Haribol, listen. So that's not the whole purpose. So Prabhupada is very clearly mentioning the statement of Krishna, because people argue this point. One time I went to one, the World Parliament of Religion, I was distributing books, and one person was spoiling this thing again and again and again. Krishna is telling, okay, you are the spirit soul, so you don't have any death, so we can actually kill people. So can you kill people? So I said, we don't kill people. There is other instructions also, we don't kill people. That context Arjuna, Krishna said, and Arjuna killed, but he is keeping on and on and on and on. He won't agree. You know, no, you people are telling you can kill. You can kill. It is written in your book, you can kill. You can kill, you know. In a repetitive statement. So people can argue on this point. So one should be able to give some reasonable answers to this, based on Krishna's statement. So Krishna is not just telling kill everyone. There are direct instructions from Krishna that is not himself, don't be violent, do living entities. Direct instruction from Krishna again from Bhagavad Gita. Okay, it will be useful so that people can on this. Then the 20th verse, Krishna is telling, you know, it's not possible to, again another quality of soul, it is Aja. Aja means
unborn.
So Krishna is asking Arjun, how can you kill unborn? It's not possible to kill unborn. It's not possible to kill Aja. So what's the point for you to lament? Because you cannot, anyway you cannot kill. And also, is Bhishma and Drona, are they actually deprived of their material enjoyment because they are going to lose their bodies?
No.
No. Why? Because it is mentioned they are going to get new bodies. So why you are worrying? Because you should be happy in one sense, because they are going to get new bodies. They have old body, it is going to die. Rather, they are going to get new bodies. So you should be rather rejoice. You should be happy. That is another point that Krishna is making. And then the whole list of qualities are given. I am not going to tell all these qualities. So it is, the key point is, even though Arjun has got so many weapons and he has got so many blessings, still because of the quality of the soul, he can't even touch the soul. What is big about killing? It's not possible. So even though so much of qualities of the soul is given, and even though Arjun has so many weapons, still Arjun cannot kill the soul. So Arjun's weapons are powerless to do so. And from there, the argument is switching to some other direction. Okay, now at this point, can you tell me, all these arguments are actually refuting one statement of Arjun? What is that? No, there are few reasons why Arjun didn't want to fight. Okay, what are first of all, what are those reasons? One is compassion. One is enjoyment, then sinful reaction, destruction of family. Okay, let's stop here. So this whole section is telling, alright, we cannot actually kill the soul, and we can only kill the body. We cannot really kill anyone. Krishna is making this strong statement in many, many verses, in so many different ways. So this is refuting which argument of, you know it, we'll give it to somebody else. Which argument of Arjun? Okay, you have a fear of sinful reaction. What are you saying?
Destruction of dynasty.
Enjoyment.
Compassion.
Okay, exactly. I know he knows the answer. That's it, and I asked everyone. It proves something. Okay, it is compassion. So Arjun was displaying compassion for what?
The body.
Exactly, compassion for the body. And Krishna is telling, no, you are not the body first of all, you are the spirit soul, and you cannot kill the spirit soul. So the whole statement from verse 11 till verse 30 of the second chapter, it's actually refuting the statement of Arjun by saying you are not the body, and this is Gyan. So this argument of Gyan is against Arjuna's statement of compassion. And the last one verse is interesting, because Krishna makes another statement. Krishna is telling, even if you don't accept the spirit soul as birthless, and one cannot kill the spirit soul, that is, if he thinks this, one can kill the spirit soul, still there is nothing to lament. There is nothing to lament. Why he is telling, one reason he is telling is, It's just a transformation. There is no rebirth stored. That's okay. Everyone is dying. Everyone is getting birth and everyone is dying. So why are everyone is meant to die. So why are you lamenting? Then another thing is this transformation of the matter. If you are not the soul, then you are the matter. So the matter is getting transformed. Saying avyaktadini bhutani. That is, the matter was in an avyakta state, in an unmanifested state before. All the schemes, all your grandfather, teachers, everyone, they were in an unmanifested state because they were just matter. And now they are manifested because they are acting. And after some time they are going to be unmanifest again. So why are you actually crying? Why are you really lamenting? Because it is meant to transform anyway. So this is on the basis of what philosophy? This argument is based on the atheistic philosophy. Krishna is telling, even if you don't accept the existence of soul, still why are you lamenting? Because they are meant to die anyway. And if you consider the matter, the matter is meant to transform anyway. So that is Krishna is actually changing the argument. So even if it's atheistic, still you should fight. Then it's a nice verse about the amazing soul. A lot of ascharya was this. Ascharya is mentioned many times. So it has actually, it can derive many meanings. I'm not getting into it much now. And finally, Krishna is concluding the whole statement, the 11th and 30 verses, telling Dehi Nityam Avadhyayam Sarva Dehasya Bharata. So Krishna is telling Dehi Nityam. Dehi Nityam means the spirit soul is Nityam, it's eternal. Dehe Sarvasya Bharata. That is, in everybody's body, the spirit soul is eternal. So that is the conclusion of Krishna. Krishna is telling, okay, finally I'm concluding, I'm telling, you are the spirit soul and you cannot kill spirit soul. It is Nityam, it is eternal. That's it. So Krishna is finishing his argument regarding Gyan. So Gyan is finishing. So we are going to the next now. What is the next section?
Karmakanda.
It is based on Karmakanda. Alright. Karmakanda. We are already going to 31, 32, etc. You remember this verse? Because one can, as a Kshatriya, if he performs duties according to Varnashram Dharma, what he gets? Yeah, he can get heavenly planet. What is it in Sanskrit? What is mentioned for the heavenly planet? Sarga? Sarga Dwaram Apavartam. Sarga Dwaram Apavartam. So the heavenly gates are open for them. So those who die in Kshatriya, who die in the battlefield, they are going. So it is good for them. So Krishna is telling, even if you die on the battlefield or if you get the kingdom, both ways you can enjoy. Why are you hesitating to fight? That is the next set of arguments based on karma, kanda, based on prescribed duties. And rather, Krishna is making the statement that rather if you don't fight, then you will incur sin because you are not performing prescribed duty according to your varna and your ashram. So it's exactly the opposite. Krishna is telling about the sinful reaction, and here Arjuna is telling about the sinful reaction in the previous verses, and Krishna is telling if you don't do your duty, if you don't kill, then the sin will incur. Okay. And rather, Krishna is offering enjoyment. So this is refuting which statement of Arjuna? Enjoyment, yeah, that's right. Enjoyment. So Karmakanda, what is the purpose of Karmakanda? Basically for sense gratification. If one can perform duties, then one can
enjoy.
Go and enjoy the heavenly planet. So which is a very good proposition. Now do some austerity so that future enjoyment. It's like people, for instance, people work very hard. Why people work very hard? During 5 days a week? So that, okay, I can get some money and I can enjoy. It's like people go for 1 month vacation after working for 1 year or 2 years. So 1 or 2 years slog and work very hard, make some money and then go to maybe Thailand and spend 1 month there. And then spend all the money and then come back and work again. So this is Karmakanda is pretty much in that line. That is, okay, now you perform your duty, everything nicely, and future you can go and enjoy. And also Krishna is inciting Arjuna's Kshatriya spirit. He's telling, okay, dishonor is worse than death for a Kshatriya. And everyone will say you are actually running out of fear. Nobody is going to see your enemies. They are not going to see that you are under compassion. Because of compassion you are actually running away from the battlefield. Everyone will say out of fear only you are running, and they will use bad words. They will actually belittle you. So Arjuna Krishna is telling, at least with this reason you fight. Krishna is trying from different angles. So that is the final point. Enjoy in either way, kingdom or heavenly planet. For Arjuna, is there anything to lose?
Mm-hmm.
From the karmakanda point of view, nothing. Everywhere it's enjoyment. So this whole section from 31 till 37 is refuting enjoyment statement by Arjuna. Clear? So what is Buddhi Yoga? What is your understanding of Buddhi Yoga? Buddhi is intelligence, that's right.
Working
with detachment.
Without expectation.
Yeah, without expectation. Offering the fruits to Krishna, okay, that is good. So that is actually intelligence, that is Buddhi. Alright. So that is Nishkama Karma Yoga, action in knowledge without attachment. So here Buddhi Yoga is strictly referring to action in Krishna consciousness without attachment or with detachment. So what is the meaning of Nishkama Karma Yoga? So we are introducing new term, Nishkama Karma Yoga. Nishkama, Kama means? Desire or lust, desire. Nishkama, no desire. Basically, no material desires. Karma yoga. Karma yoga means action. And yoga means its action is for Krishna. So that is Nishkama Karma Yoga. So Nishkama Karma Yoga has no action is there because karma is there means action is there. One is not sleeping all the time or one is not meditating all the time sitting at a place. Rather, there is some action. One is working here, say Arjuna is fighting. One is working in office, or there is some action. So that's the reason it is Karma Yoga. And yoga means it is offering the results to Krishna. And it's not only that, along with the activity, there is some knowledge, there is some jnana. There is some jnana about Krishna. For a devotee, there is jnana about Krishna. One knows about Krishna. If one doesn't know about Krishna, how can one give results to Krishna? Is it possible? No way. So one needs to develop some knowledge in this path. So that is Nishkama Karma Yoga. So here in the 38th verse, Prabhupada is saying, actually Arjuna has to fight for one reason. So can you see the shift in the reason? From 11 to 30, Krishna is telling, okay, you fight because you cannot kill them because you are the spirit soul. And they are also the spirit soul, so you can't kill. Even though you can use all the weapons, still you can't kill. And from 31 to 37, okay, you do it as a duty. It is your prescribed duty. So prescribed duty you do, then you can get enjoyment. So you do it. And now it is telling, okay, now you do for my pleasure. Can you see the reason? Again, the point is the same. That is, Arjuna has to fight, but the reason given is different. So ultimately this is coming to the point, it is the desire of Krishna, so one should fight. Yes, Prabhu. Which one? The one I am
dividing.
From 11 to 30, Krishna was telling Arjuna, you fight because you cannot kill your grandfather, you cannot kill your grandmother, you cannot, who are like this? Who is there? Not grandmother. There is no mother there. Any of the teachers, because they are spirit souls. And that is jnana. And from there it is coming to karmakanda, where you do your prescribed duties. By doing your prescribed duties, you can go to heavenly planet and you can enjoy. So do it as a prescribed duty, as according to Varna and Ashram. That is the prime principle of Karma Kanda. We will discuss further Karma Kanda, what it is. And next, here the reason is saying, now you fight for my pleasure. So yoga means it is an action for Krishna. It's not for ourselves, but it is for Krishna. So that is very important. So Prabhupada is one of the lectures, very nicely Prabhupada is saying, the real perfection of life is whether by your service Krishna is satisfied. So it's in the same action. We have to see the level, the consciousness, in which one is performing the activity. On one level, one was performing, or Arjuna was asked to perform the activity in one consciousness. Can you see the difference? That is Jnana. And on the next level, Arjuna was asked to perform the same duty with some other consciousness. That is the Karmakanda consciousness. Now, Krishna is asking Arjuna to focus on his fight, considering Krishna in the center. Can you see the same action but different consciousness? And this is an elevated consciousness. When one is coming to Buddhi Yoga, actually it is part of Bhakti also, it is there. When come to Bhakti, then that is the highest consciousness. That is for the pleasure of Krishna. So this is the statement I was mentioning regarding Bhakti Vinod Thakur. His son, when I carry out very difficult tasks for Krishna, that task becomes real happiness for me. That is the standard of happiness. Prabhupada is mentioning. That is the standard of happiness.
When the task becomes difficult.
Difficult. When I am doing and performing a very difficult task for Krishna, then that becomes my happiness. So you see, if somebody is facing a difficulty in service to Krishna, so facing those difficulties to please Krishna, that becomes one's happiness, one's excessive. Okay? For us it is exactly the opposite. For us it is opposite. If we are performing our duty and if we are getting some material enjoyment, sense enjoyment, we consider, okay, I am the happiest person. And if I have difficulties, then I don't want to do that service anymore. You see, it's difficult. Yes, Prabhu.
Basically, it says, from karma you get jnana and from jnana you get bhakti. But Krishna first is cutting the ignorance by giving jnana and then going to karma. Next to this argument.
Yeah.
So how can we relate that?
You mean to say, first is karma?
First he gave jnana, both the difference between soul and body, and then he went to karma.
Yeah.
Or you can do karma. But from karma you get jnana and then from jnana you get
So Krishna will this is the second chapter. Okay, we'll come to this is the only second chapter. Yoga ladder is coming from starting from pretty much 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. That is the section yoga ladder is coming. So Krishna will systematically present that what you are saying, because what you are saying is from what Krishna has already spoken. So that ladder will be presented later on. So here there is a reason why it is given like this, because it is pretty much suiting Arjun's argument. Initially, Krishna is replying to Arjun's argument. Arjun, what is the first reason that is presented for by Arjun? To notify compassion. So, compassion is cut straight away by the Jnana. And then, mainly the reason was regarding this enjoy. How can I enjoy if I am killing all the people, all my relatives? So, that is cut by the Karmakanda argument. And now, the sinful reaction, that will be cut by Bhakti, by Buddhi Yoga, which is no different from Bhakti. So at this point, these three terms can be understood in the same manner. That is, Buddhi Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, and Karma Yoga, Pratnishkama Karma Yoga, one should understand in that pretty much on a similar level. The details we can further discuss in the following chapters. But at this point, Buddhi Yoga considered as Bhakti Yoga, same as Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay? So that is the reason, because of the arguments given by Arjun. So this is the second point. And the yoga ladder will follow. Okay, then there is a big explanation given regarding should fight for, we discussed this point. Sankhya Yoga, there is a huge discussion about Sankhya Yoga in the verse 39. Briefly, the point is Sankhya Yoga, here it is referring to the analytical study of the soul and the body, and Sankhya can also refer to imposter Kapila's atheistic philosophy, and Sankhya can also refer to that point. But it can also refer to bhakti, pure devotional service. Sankhya can have three things. One is the analytical study of the soul and matter, that is one aspect. We discussed already in the 11th till 30th, and Sankhya can refer to the atheistic philosophy of imposter Kapila, and also you can refer to bhakti given by Lord Kapila. Lord Kapila in Srimad Bhagavatam. So all three are referring to the same word, Sankhya. So Prabhupada is making very clear that don't misunderstand by the term Samkhya. Don't think that it is referring to some atheistic Kapila, but rather it is Samkhya can refer to the Lord Kapila Dev in Srimad Bhagavatam. And at this point, the Samkhya is just referring to the analytical study of the soul, which was presented from verses 11 till 30. Atheistic, that is based on the analysis of the material elements. Analysis, Sankhya, the technical term of Sankhya itself means analysis. And it is basically analyzing the material elements. I don't know the full theory of Sankhya, atheistic philosophy, but it is based on the analysis of the material elements. Yes? Where? I don't know where it is coming from. It's non-person, but I don't know where it's coming from. Now we are going a bit fast. What is next? Glory of Buddhi Yoga. What is the glory of Buddhi Yoga? Anyone knows the glory of Buddhi Yoga? We will briefly discuss and then you have a group exercise will come. Can anyone refer to which verse actually referring to this glory of Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga? Okay, Jaspal Prabhu, you want to read it loudly? What is 240? No book. Yeah, whatever you can. You're reading the whole purpose? I just meant the text only. Sorry, that's fine. Thank you, Prabhu. So the main point is there is no loss or diminution in this path of Krishna consciousness.
What is diminution?
I can't do like that thing. Anyone knows the exact meaning of diminution?
Vanishing.
Can you check the dictionary? You can get the
dictionary. If you are not vanishing,
everyone is taking down the list. Goes negative diminution. Okay, we'll come to that. Okay, hold on. Haribo? One person. No, some are sensible meaning. Deduction. Okay, deduction. Okay, that's fine. All right, reducing in substance. Okay, that's fine. So from bhakti, nothing is going to reduce. The credit is not going to go away. That is neha vikrama nash shosti. There is no nash. There is no loss. There is no diminution. Okay, that's fine. Huh? It will remain. Yeah, it will remain eternally. So Prabhupada is saying in a lecture, Prabhupada is giving a very nice information. He's telling Krishna is very clever. One may try to leave him, but he is not going to leave you. Okay? once you come, he says, "No sir, you cannot go out." Just like Ajamil.
Okay.
Just like Ajamil. Well, Ajamil initially he had a very pious past. And then he got into trouble after seeing the prostitute and he started living with the prostitute. But since by chance he named his son as Narayan. So at the end of the life, he called up Narayan and he could go back home, back to Godhead. So that is the story that Srila Prabhupada is referring to. So Krishna will not leave you. Yes, someone go. Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. What is the fear?
Yeah, we will you realize it's a part of the end discussion, we'll do that. We'll get into detail after some time. Okay, we'll just quickly go. It is there in the book anyway. Okay, if it's not clear, we will answer later, alright? Now, what is next? Okay, Vyavasaya Gatmika Buddhi. What is Vyavasaya Gatmika Buddhi? Single-minded, pointed intelligence. Very sharp. Why do we need sharp intelligence? So that we can penetrate and go in a very determined fashion in Krishna consciousness. One-pointed intelligence. The Prabhupada is telling one needs one-pointed intelligence for success in Krishna consciousness. If it is not one-pointed, we cannot penetrate into, or in other words, we cannot go successfully in Krishna consciousness. So that is Vyavasaya Katmika Buddhi, Ekeha, Kuru Nandana. And the opposite is Bahu, Shakaki Anandasya, Buddheyo, Avyavasayinam. That is exactly the opposite, the many branch. We can very easily say many branch intelligence, thinking of so many things. Even ourselves as devotees, we can see so many other concerns in Krishna consciousness rather than the quest of Krishna. What am I feeling? What others are thinking? What will happen to me? What will happen to them? What will be the future? So many other considerations are there. So instead, if one is focused directly on Krishna consciousness, that is Vyavasaya Katmika Buddhi. So we will be discussing this also in a few minutes. Okay? Yeah? Sorry, but when somebody is asking questions, please listen.
Any work begun in Krishna consciousness as a permanent defect, but how about when someone is making an offense? So I mean, in that case, as in like a mad elephant, taken the out of the roots. I mean, in that case, you have to begin from the very beginning.
Okay, that's a good question. That is, if somebody is committing an offense, then apparently one is losing all bhakti. It's a mad elephant. It can actually destroy the creeper of devotional service. So how can we fit in that into this context? So it is said, one explanation to this is, it's explained, it is just like if we have some money, we have worked hard and deposited so much money in our account, and we go to ATM and we press the PIN number, put the card in, press the number, and then the money comes out. So the Vaishnava aparath is just like losing the PIN number. So it is there somewhere, but you cannot access it. Krishna has actually removed the password and he has changed the password, and now no question of accessing that money. So Vaishnava aparath is like that. So what's the way? We will see in necro devotion. What can we do if we commit some Vaishnava aparath? Yeah, there are different steps.
Approach the bank
and beg. The same way whom we have to approach the devotees and beg for forgiveness. And that also, there are different levels in which we can beg for forgiveness depending on the level of offense that we have committed.
But Krishna will not
let you go.
He
will not let you go.
But there are different ways we can approach the problem. So, say, regarding our Durvasamani, what happened? Who actually pardoned finally? Ambarish Maharaj. When he asked for the forgiveness, he pardoned, and then things were solved. Situation was cleared. Okay, so there is some hope is there, but don't commit any Vaishnava aparath.
In case of Pralhad Maharaj.
Huh? What is it?
In case of Pralhad Maharaj.
In case of?
Pralhad Maharaj.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
So what's next? Let's see what's next. We'll go through the flowery language. I'm not going to discuss into because that is your group exercise. So there is some mention about the flowery languages of Vedas, which are very promising. Veda Vada Ratha Partha Nanya Dasiti Vadina. Those who are following this flowery language of Veda, they think there is nothing else. That's it. Do everything for sense gratification. Work hard now, enjoy later. So that is the essential principle of this. Alright, if somebody is after bhoga and aishwarya, if somebody is after sense enjoyment and opulence, what is the end result?
The result is determination, relationship.
Yeah, exactly. There is finish. There is no determination. There is no determination to perform devotional service. If somebody is after bhoga or aishwarya, if somebody wants wealth, opulence, etc., etc., then one cannot be determined in the process of devotional service. Can you see that? That is bhoga aishwarya prasaktana saya apasadatyasam vyavasayikatmika buddhi samadhav na vidhiyate. We discussed what is vyavasayikatmika buddhi. It is said vyavasayikatmika buddhi samadhav na vidhiyate. Na means not. Vidhiyate, it is, it cannot exist. It cannot exist simultaneously. So one has to choose what one wants. Either sense gratification and desire for, sorry?
You want to become bhogi or yogi?
Bhogi or yogi, okay, that's a good point. Bhogi enjoyer or you want to be a yogi? Exactly, one has to choose. Only one can achieve. Okay, then, yeah, if you want to transcend this, one has to transcend the three modes of material nature. Traigunya, Vishaya, Veda. Nis Traigunya, Bhavarjuna. Krishna is saying one has to. Veda has so many statements which are within the material mode. So the Veda in itself, it's not completely transcendental. Veda is not completely spiritual. Is it a shocking news? That's what Krishna is telling. Krishna is telling Veda is not completely spiritual. He's telling Traigunya, Vishaya, Veda. The main subject matters of Veda, it has so many things which are three modes, affected by the three modes of material nature. For example, Ayurveda, he's telling Ayurveda. Something else? Karmakanda. Exactly, Karmakanda. Yeah? Worship of, yeah, that's part of Karmakanda, exactly. That's part of Karmakanda. So, if you follow that, that cannot give success. So one has to transcend. That is the address of Krishna to Arjuna. Yeah. Want to note down something? Maybe we can do it later. We'll just go ahead. Slide, I'll show you slide again. And what is the purpose of Veda?
Chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah, that's the ultimate purpose. Chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. Vedeshya Sarve? Aham Eva Vedyo. What is the meaning of that? Okay. Krishna, from all Vedas, Krishna to be known. So what is the example, what anyone remembers that verse from Bhagavad Gita that is says, a very particular verse actually mentioned this point, it describes the purpose of Veda. 246, exactly. What is the point? It is mentioned, actually it is mentioned, if there are, there is a big reservoir of water, then the purposes of all small ponds are satisfied if there is a big reservoir of water. Because we need water. It's like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the example, if there are small ponds for different purposes, one to take bath, one to wash the pots, small ponds are there, or wells. If there is a big river flowing or big body of water, then that can solve all the problems. One doesn't need so many different things. In the same way, if somebody is worshipping Krishna, if one, someone understands the purpose of Veda is to worship Krishna and to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then there is no need of the whole karma, the whole activity, so many things are described in Veda. It's not really required. Because it is, the whole purpose is satisfied by worshipping Krishna. So that is the whole idea in this. We had to move ahead. Unfortunately, we had to go fast. Okay, formula for action without attachment. That is, that you will be doing now, so it's no worries, I'm not going to. That is Karmandeva Adhikarase Mahapaleshu Kadachana. Everyone has heard this, so we'll see it further. Yeah, this is actually how actually one should, while doing, while performing work, how one one's focus should be, how one should have one's consciousness ready. It should be focused on Krishna. And there are three links to chapter 3. Three verses actually. One is the Dvirena Hi Avaram Karma. That is, one should keep the object of sense gratification at a distance. And art of work. And result of detachment. Detached work. This is actually connection to chapter 3. And in conclusion, Krishna is saying, be indifferent to Vedic rituals and be fixed in Krishna consciousness. This is the conclusion of Buddhi Yoga. That is, don't too much worry about all the Vedic injunctions and rituals, but be fixed in Krishna consciousness. Okay. You keep the object of sense gratification far distant. Not close, very far. Yeah, it's written in 118 or maybe 49 verse. Keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service. Krishna service. So these are linked to next chapter. What is it?
Vedic.
Oh, sorry, spelling mistake. It's like Vedic. Okay, you get into, now we are doing a pair exercise. So have your pair ready. Pair means two people. And this combination, if it doesn't work, three. So we have to discuss the meaning of pratyavaya na vidyate. Two things. One is pratyavaya na vidyate. The significance of the term pratyavaya na vidyate. Sorry? Verse number. Okay. 40. And vyavasayagatmika buddhi. Significance. Quickly discuss for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Pratyavaya na vidyate and vyavasayi gatmika buddhi, these two terms. So significant, you understood? Question is clear?
What is the question?
Significance of vyavasayagatmika buddhi and the significance of pratyavaya na vidyate. Significance. Pratyavaya na vidyate and vyavasayagatmika buddhi. Okay, done. Hari Bol, so done? Okay, so we have to start. We don't have time. We are running out of time. So otherwise we'll have to go further. It's not good. Okay, those who are done can tell something about it. Hari Bol, who is ready? Alright, Manoj Prabhu. Hari Bol, listen. Exactly.
So, in the process of Buddhi Yoga, it is possible to at least elevate to, at least to be reborn as a human being.
Yeah.
There is no loss.
Yeah.
Even if it is
that's good.
Have it forward.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
If all the material activities, which are whatever you perform, will attain this part and of the same.
Yeah. Exactly. If you do a degree for, you know, 3 or 4 years, if you don't complete the degree, what are you going to get? Nothing, only money is gone, that's all. Nothing, no PR, nothing. So there has to be 100%, otherwise nothing. So in bhakti, whatever you do, there is something. Yes, exactly. Next month one can start if somebody is leaving at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's based on knowledge. Yeah, it's a good point. That's a very good. That's a very, very important point. That is, for to have determination, if one doesn't have any knowledge, then how can one develop determination? On what basis? There's no basis for that. Good point. Anything else? Which one? About the irresolute, about the determination?
Yeah.
Without knowledge, without transcendental knowledge, one cannot have determination in Krishna consciousness. Is it clear? Is that point clear? If we don't have knowledge, what happens if something goes wrong in our devotional service? If something is not working, what happens if we don't have sufficient knowledge? Whom we blame? Usually, Krishna. We won't blame ourselves, obviously. Either blame other devotees or Krishna. Ultimately, Krishna. So if somebody is lacking knowledge, one cannot stay in Krishna consciousness for a long period of time. Srila Prabhupada said, if somebody is not regularly studying my books, then one will fall down eventually. How is it?
Lack of knowledge.
Yeah, lack of knowledge is a big problem. That reason we have to actually do Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav. Actually do, not just sit. Not just see, watch, you know, it's not a footy match, you know. It's not just observe. It's, you know, there is no, you know, film star or anyone here standing, no. We had to actually hear and study, otherwise no point. Any other points, final points regarding Vyavasaya Kalmiya Bhuti or Satya Vaya Navidya?
If you fall down, then have to be discouraged because it may have been
made. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And if you want to continue, you need to have that one point in intelligence.
Yeah.
Take up the professional service.
Yeah. Sure. Good. Yes, bro.
I have a question. So if somebody falls down to contact the Guru again,
yeah,
later on they come back to be, they be treated at the level of advancement that they were at before then? Because no lot.
Okay. It depends. Or because even the devotees, even if they fall down from a certain platform of devotee service, even if they come back, say that fall down can be in different degrees. On one level we fall down every day. On a subtle level we have many fall downs. Is it right? Many fall downs are there on a subtle level. As Prabhupada said, you know, if one woman is walking, you know, one obviously one sees, you know, one can see. But if he's looking again, then Prabhupada says it's a fall down. Means it's trying to enter. Subtle. It's a subtle fall down. So we have fall downs many times. So when we are talking about serious fall downs, if somebody was on a very, you know, even times of ashram situation, also on a very high position, and if he falls down and he comes back, but on an institution, we may not give the same position. Is that right? If one sannyasi is not following the sannyas dharma anymore, and he's coming back to devotional service, he may not be on an ashram situation, he may not be treated as a sannyasi, he may start as a, you know, grihastha or any, some other ashram. It can start like that. But at the same time, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even somebody is actually performing the most abominable activity, being a devotee, and it's not necessarily an intentionally going on all the time, but even accidentally or somehow or other, if somebody performs most abominable activity, still such a person has to be treated as sadhu, sadhureva samantavyam. So we cannot actually offend such a person.
Mainly the most of the senior devotees, they fall down. Once they realize they fall down, they won't come back. And they will stay at home and they start acting. That's only a example I'm saying.
But still, we should treat them with respect. We must treat them with respect. Otherwise, Krishna says, you know, Krishna says it's my order that if somebody is committing the most abominable activity, still he should be treated as a sadhu. So that is Krishna says it's the order.
I'm talking about the initiated devotees. They are gurus. They are disciples. There are so many disciples all over the world. They couldn't come up because they have to stay at home. Once they come up, they will ask some of the questions they have.
Yeah.
So you said that we have to treat them as
sadhus. Yeah.
We have to treat the other
Karmis
as
sadhus
who are
No.
No. Sorry, this is specifically about the devotees. Devotees can be even they performed above middle activity, still we had to treat them as sadhus. Because why? Krishna says a reason. Why? Because even if they commit such an above middle activity, they will immediately realize, okay, I have fallen, I have committed such a mistake, then they actually come back to Krishna consciousness. That is the reason. So Krishna says, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. So Kshipram means immediately. They become Dharmatma. They again come back to the righteous activities. That is the reason Krishna is saying, okay, keep them as devotees. Because they will come back. It doesn't mean we can offend non-devotees. We don't treat the karmi, you know, those who are not following it, we don't treat them as devotees. But at the same time, we understand they also have connection with Krishna. Originally, they are also devotees, but they have forgotten their relationship with Krishna. As we do sometimes. So we don't treat them as devotees, rather we understand they are conditioned souls, they are suffering. So if one of the aparad is jivaparad. Jivaparad means offense to general living entities. So if you offend them because it is jivas, then it's an offense. Sumantra, is it clear? Jivaparad is an aparad. If you offend generally whoever, that's an aparad. Alright, now we will have a quick group discussion. We don't have too much of time. Strictly it will be 7 minutes. We can have 7 groups. No more capacity. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 groups. Sorry. 6 groups. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Harry Walt, is there a possibility for 6 groups? Back message, you can join here. One more thing to do. There is no time to waste. Both go to the verses, get the points, and explain. You can come here and just summarize what you have shortly. Just 1 minute, 1 or 2 minutes. Just briefly explain. Hari Bol. You can come closer to the mic.
Who is the mic? So text 42 and 43. The main principles are elevation to heavenly planets, enjoying far superior sense gratification, women, angelic, angels, wine, samurais. So these principles, because they're basically completely opposite to the principles of Krishna consciousness, they don't have much relevance for Krishna consciousness. This is what the karmis want. Text 44. Bhogaishvarya Pratakshanam, that if we're too attached to sense enjoyment, we won't get serious about spiritual life. So relevant for devotees practicing Krishna consciousness is to restrict sense gratification, engage in devotional service instead. Text 45 is about the three modes of material nature. The Vedas, as Gopa Prabhu said, aren't all spiritual or transcendental. So I think is it in the purport he's saying that Prabhupada saying Upanishads marks the beginning of transcendental life. So he takes spiritual knowledge from this part of the Vedas, not the Karmakanda section. Text 46 is that Radhakrishna Prabhu was talking that basically by chanting serves all purposes of Vedic knowledge.
Yeah.
Chanting the holy names, that's described in the purport by Prabhupada. And that's it.
Thank you. I think Manoj Prabhu's group is still spreading. Ready?
Yeah.
I'm talking at other Manoj
Prabhu.
Okay.
Yes?
Just one.
So, wait, do I have to read the question book?
No.
Yeah,
no, don't read the question. Comment for everyone. Yeah.
So it was regarding the Karmakandas and the application of Karmakanda for Krishna consciousness. So we found in mainly verse 45 where it says that when Lord, from the Lord after creating the material world, he gave the Vedic wisdom. So he starts with Karmakanda first, so that we can live a regulated life. And when Karmakandas are meant in order to improve our consciousness. And when that is done, then Lord starts with Upanishads, where in Upanishads it is the knowledge of self-realization is given step by step. So the Karmakandas are meant to elevate a person to the level of Krishna consciousness, or meant to elevate the level of a person. And it is also said that a low-class man like a chandala who eats a dog eater, even he chants the name of Lord Krishna, then it means that he has already performed all the sacrifices, he has already read the Vedas in his previous life. That is why he has come to this level of Krishna consciousness. And it is, that's what the example of well and river was given in that. Because if you are worshipping Lord Krishna is like worshipping the river, which is the source of all the wells.
I think you can come here so the recording will be much clearer. If it is working.
Hare Krishna. The essential principles that we got from 2.4 to 4.6. Number one, attachment to heavenly pleasures through the flowery words of the Vedas is detrimental to one's position in Krishna consciousness. Point two that we got was one should go beyond the knowledge of the three modes of material nature, which is a part of which is what the Vedas is about. The third one is once the activities of sense gratification is over, that is the Karmakanda is finished, then the chance of spiritual self-realization starts through the Upanishad. The fourth point is one should have tolerance in the face of duality, that's free from anxiety, so when one is fully dependent on the will of Krishna. And the last one we got was purpose of Vedas can be served if they know the purpose, and the purpose being gradual development of self-realization. And self-realization is knowing Krishna and our eternal relationship with Him. Some of the analogies given, one was the well and the reservoir of water.
Very good point. And you also mentioned.
And second one is how fools are attracted to the flowers of a poisonous tree, and it's compared to unenlightened men attracted to heavenly pleasures.
Yeah.
And how is this relevant? How are the above principles relevant to the practice of Krishna consciousness? Will it be able to discriminate between those flowery words and those rituals and those practices, and we understand the true relationship? The, basically, the purpose of the Vedas is understood, because that's the best way to discern the Vedas.
Thank you. And I can mention that. Okay.
Section basically deals with three modes of material nature, and basically and basically deals with the attachment to sense gratification. Like an example is given, like if they perform 4 months of penances and they will get a huge somras and unlimited immortality in the heavenly planet. So it's just for the attachment of temporary things. But like by this sense gratification, we cannot get the determination. So Karmakanda section is basically for the gradual development of self-realization. So the relevance in our Krishna conscious life is like the analogy is given for the Prabhu is also described this, the river fulfills all the purpose of the wells. So similarly, like even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is example of given, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also telling by, like, because I don't have any qualification, I am by chanting only Hare Krishna, all these purposes are fulfilled. So it's just a yoga ladder, and within Krishna consciousness, all other yoga systems are involved.
Okay.
Well,
can one really become immortal by
Immortal, there's immortal means even devas are considered immortal in the sense their lifespan is very, very long. But it doesn't mean they are actually eternally immortal. It doesn't actually mean that. They have death. So immortal actually implies a very, very long period compared to our calculation, our lifespan. Alright, who is the next group? Okay, two groups only left. Okay, come on.
The relevance of Karmakanda division of Vedas in the practice of Krishna consciousness is, one is mainly most people are attached to the rituals and sacrifices, so they perform the sacrifices and rituals to attain higher planets like Swargaloka and everything. So in the Krishna consciousness tells that one should not attach it to the rituals and sacrifices, all these things, and one is not possible to attain samadhi, fixed mind, Vedas deal with three modes of material nature. As devotees, we have to train. Three modes. Material activities involve actions and reactions. And first thing, when one of the great Vedic scholars in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's period, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why you are chanting the Lord last name? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that his spiritual master told him that you are a fool. Mm-hmm. That's why you should chant Hare, the Lord's name. That's why he is chanting. So in this age, chanting the holy name is the means of elevation and self-realization. This is the only means of self-realization. That's all.
Thank you.
Come back, Victorious.
Okay. We many came up with 2 points. Well, I wrote down 2 points, so I got some other points. The first one is that in the talk, Krishna says that the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. So with Karma Kanda, it's a gradual elevation to higher modes. In Krishna consciousness, we mainly want to associate with the mode of goodness. We want to be in that mode, so we can perform Krishna consciousness easier. It's a good material situation to perform Krishna consciousness. And in verse 44, in the purport, it says that samadhi, the actual meaning of samadhi, means fixed mind. So in the verse it mentions samadhi, but a fixed mind on sense gratification, material opulence.
Mm-hmm.
But then Prabhupada mentions afterwards that real samadhi actually means to be fixed on understanding the self, trying to understand what the self is, the spiritual matter, the spiritual essence. So in Krishna consciousness, only in Krishna consciousness can you really be focused on the self, can actually be in samadhi. And so if the mind is fixed on sense gratification, obviously that's not real samadhi. That's it.
Okay, thank you. It's pretty much very close to an open book question. One of the open book questions is what we discussed today. So what's the one point I was thinking, because it's mentioned about the sacrifice. Karmakanda is dealing with different kinds of sacrifice to attain some objective, which is heavenly. At the same time, for devotees, that sacrifice is spiritual. And the objective is also spiritual. Now we will have a final discussion. It's actually a role play, not a discussion. So everyone, the title is Karmanyeva Adhikarasye. That is the title of the role play. So we have six groups, and you can see the question. You can choose.